The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? A Psalm of David, chapter 21, verse 1. As we race toward the conclusion of things, or simply to the end of our own personal race, it seems that at every turn, there's a new precipice yawning wide and deep on every side. We call what we see as dystopian and insane and, all understated, of course. Isaiah's idea of dystopian was good being evil and evil being good, darkness being light and light being darkness, and bitter being sweet and sweet being bitter. Chapter 5, verse 20. Yeah, we get the picture. We didn't miss the woe upon them who possessed this spirit, did we? There are more than biological plagues upon the world. The Bible's idea of plagues have everything from natural catastrophes, cosmic catastrophes, biological, bacteriological, all kinds of stuff. Terrible and dreadful threats, coercion, fears, uncertainties, despair swirling around us like waves of evil torment. We won't forget war, and famine, and pestilence, and death. They're all astride their little horsies, and they're moving right along. The enemies of God, the waves of the sea, they do rage. Now, a quiet-spirited follower of Jesus would sigh and not rage, eyes to heaven, knowing that it's all God's judgment and wrath growing. These plagues of God aren't seeming to cause anyone to repent. You remember your verses in Revelation. Neither do these plagues and catastrophes seem to cause anyone to repent of their murders, or their sorceries, or their fornication, or their thefts. Some kingdom of iron and clay, isn't it? Blind iron teeth. At the heart of everything wrought by the hand of man is the love of money, the root of every and all evil. Simple. Have you simplified your walk with this truth, Saint? Are you guilty of being one spoken of in 1 Timothy 6:10? For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. He's talking about believers. Many sorrows. And a danger to one's soul. Does your fear make you covet still the things of this world? Will you fall into temptation that easily? Will you be numbered with the dystopic transgressors clawing your way through your day, deceived and bereft of the faith you once were and only once were given? God forbid, Saint. It's never enough, we say. By what standard do you judge what enough is? Is Christ's standard put forth in Matthew 6, 32 and 33 your standard? Does it start there for you? I hope so. It leaves enough up to the Father. Father's saying, hey, man, I got this. I got this. Where's your eyes? What are you concentrating on? My kingdom? Or your miserable butt? I see. This world, now in the beginning throes of God's judgment, provides God's saints with a cornucopia of dread, daily dread, and choices still. How will his saints handle this almost constant onslaught? Is give us this day our daily bread enough for us? Is take no thought for your life what ye shall eat and what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on? Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Isn't that enough for us? In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Psalm 56:11. Oh, I see. Well, it's in your Bible to convict you. Now we're talking, saints. People who believe this verse from David are definitely walking their talk. What really gets me are the hypocrites and double-minded among the camp of God. Many talk a heavy walk, but are as hollow as gourds, as shallow as puddles on a sidewalk. These claiming to follow Jesus Christ spend their time rousing like-minded, delusional, so-called patriots to rebel and fight back, engaging themselves in their twisted versions of the good fight. 1 Timothy 6:12. I see. By rebellion and overthrow of earthly systems ordained of God, this is how our Christian patriots lay hold of eternal life? 1 Timothy 6:12, you know? What are the fruits of this chapter and verse? Laying hold of eternal life. Not taking America back. What America? And they do love the truth, don't they? You know, the Jesus Christ they profess while they rebel and tear down told them, as well as his real followers, that his kingdom, which they vainly fight for, is not of this world. John 18:36. Christ's true followers do not fight the brute repression of the wicked systems of this world. Thus, the destroy tyranny factions of the camp visibly manifest themselves as being self-destructive goats. Now, subsequently, God shall send them and has sent them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. 2 Thessalonians 2:11. When we fight a God-ordained wicked system, we fight God. There's no stepping outside of our paths. If we do, of course, I'd call us vessels of unrighteousness. So when we fight God, who's going to win? Did Goshen rebel against the Pharaoh? Did Masada win against Caesar? Our patriots fight the sovereign will of God. I'm not going to advocate tearing down world systems, political systems, for one, in order to gain and lay hold of my eternal life. Are you kidding? Fight the good fight. Why don't you guys shut up with the good fight stuff already and stop smearing Christ's words? It really gets me. Frankly, I don't admire a thing about those who claim to surrender to Christ and yet fight the will of God in any arena. But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. 1 Peter 3:14. Would you like Peter to add to that and say, get your guns and blow them up? Sheep from goats, folks. Sheep from goats. A narrow way few there be that find life. If that don't scare you, then go after the NWO and have a good old time. Because Jesus Christ did not come to establish a new religion or denominations or theocratic democracies. He did not come to establish new rites and rituals or buildings with stupid steeples. Jesus Christ came to establish his spiritual kingdom in men's and women's hearts, those that are called. Jesus Christ came to free a few from the captivity of fear and dread that they must suffer through in this world, as well as, initially, the captivity of their souls in destruction at the end. Jesus Christ told us all that the kingdom of God comes not with observation. Neither shall they say, it's here, or it's there for all to see. Jesus Christ said, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Luke 17:21. Oh, that's another scripture to get rid of. We want to fight a good fight. Jesus Christ is the truth which sets us free. Free from the captivity and faith-killing fear and dread. Free from the penalty of sin and everlasting damnation. Gee, too simple. We gotta live in this world. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I've heard that before, too. Now you go live in this world. You prep your brains out. Get your guns. Get your freeze-dried food. Get on a talk show. Do you want to fight fear when it comes, brethren? Fight it with your gift of faith. Fight it with the gift of faith and the faith of Jesus Christ, if it were given to you. How about remembering Isaiah 12:2? Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Wow. Psalm 56:3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Proverbs 3:25, be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. I might add your share of daily dread. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Thank you, Jesus. Yo. You know, we're being persecuted for just being alive in this world, saints. We're being persecuted for just being Homo sapiens sapiens walking around, you know? Try to live off the grid. Try to live like people did 100 years ago. And further back. They were dead before they were 30. It's hard. It's hard. And the curse of Adam is still in full force. We're being persecuted for exercising Christ's righteousness in us before the Father. We're being persecuted for not fighting for a kingdom which is not yet present in the waking world, but present only in our hearts. We're being persecuted for keeping our traps shut toward the malevolent wickedness around us. What a display of insanity that is. We don't like it, but we don't confront it. Hide, you know? Hide. Have nothing to do with them. Oh, Paul, don't say things like that. You know, it might lead these Christians to become followers of Jesus Christ. Repent of their nonsense. You know, the Lamb kept his mouth shut and went to his ordained fate for us. He knew his path. The last and the greatest sacrifice, yeah. Well, if Jesus is our example, then we emulate his example. Don't we fear, fight, covet, and rage like the rest of the damn world? And bearing no resemblance to the God we profess to serve. We serve ourselves. We are more interested in Antichrist than we are in Jesus Christ. And that's pretty lame. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And that power is not to overthrow worldly systems or the neighbor next door. That power is primarily the power to fight the temptation before we go blowing things up and losing our souls. Making any sense to you, brethren? Making any sense to you, saints? The saints of the living God believe the truths and promises and examples put forth by Jesus Christ. Isaiah 51:12, I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou, that you should be afraid of a man that shall die, and the Son of Man which shall be made as grass? The Son of Man being, you know, their progenies. We're all going to die. Well, gee whiz, didn't the same voice who spoke to Isaiah in chapter 51 actually say it from his own human mouth when he came here in Luke 12:4-5? And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, but after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him, which after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. And that's the Father. Huh. Boy, this guy Jesus is all over Scripture, isn't he? Saying great things to his real saints who are actually really following his words and obeying his commands. Our misguided, rebellious brethren would have us believe that there will be peace in the world if they prevail in their ill-conceived fight against tyranny and injustice. Jesus tells us, and then peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Don't be deceived, brethren. When Jesus says, we shall have tribulation in the world for following him, even so for those who don't follow him, for that matter, then there can be no peace in the world to ever be had by anyone. Is this how deeply we're reading our scriptures? We just blow right over the top of things and skip merrily along to our destruction. Well, have a nice trip. Strengthen yourselves with the daily bread you ask Father for. You do that. Even the more filling spiritual bread, the bread of life, the bread and water of Christ's Spirit sustains forever. Our daily bread? Water off a duck's back, saints. When the stormy wind-driven waves look to swamp your ship, like they do often in the lives of the true believers, ask yourselves what the Master asked his own who followed him and even still now asks you. Quote, where is your faith? End quote. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. Isaiah 8:13. Rejoice in your suffering as Christ, brethren. Get your shields up, and do keep to the road. The grace and the peace of Jesus Christ be with you, who truly serve him. Amen.